welcome to Retro Wars, where each week me and a friend talk about the video games we used to play back when we were kids. And this is episode 111, and we are talking Metroid 2 for the Game Boy. Yes, the Game Boy, we're going back that far to the original Metroid series. Now, I'd never played Metroid 2 back in the day, it wasn't up there with some of the games I've played. I gave it a good go. I got asked to play it by our guest, Blaine the Hoagie Man. He said, "Danny, have you played it?" I went, "No." And I thought, well, it's on the Nintendo Switch Online. So I thought, why not give that a go? It makes sense to give it a go. It's there. It's free for me to play. So I did. I sat there. I finished it in about 3 sessions. But I'm not going to lie, I needed a guide for it because you need a map. Oh my lordy, does this game need a map? There is no way of getting around that, and it's one of the biggest flaws we talk about in this game. Now, I know the past few weeks have been a bit vacant, but that's because I've been moving house. It has been extremely stressful. I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to hide that fact. I've been very stressed with it all because the wife has actually gone back to the UK. Her and Hiccups went back just for a holiday, but they found out that we all booked out, and then it was like, bang, then we got to move. I was like, oh, so it's not their fault. It was just the timing's been terrible. And I'm not going to lie, I've struggled. It's been a lot to do, trying to do a house move by yourself, and I've just gone back to work today, so I am absolutely mentally and physically exhausted. So I do apologise that there's not been any real big content, apart from the weekly shows, in the sense of the pre-shows, but I'm going to try and get back into that, and now I've got a little bit of a routine, because I've got to go back to work, so basically back to the normal set activity. So hopefully, things will be looking up from here. Now, if you are just here for the talk about Metroid 2 with Mr. Playing the Hoagie Man, please go about maybe 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes down the road. But please stay. We try and have some fun. We try and make your life a little bit better. First of all, go get the plugs out the way. Wherever you're listening to this, please give it a 5-star review. Say it's good. Say it's crap. Tell me the best thing since sliced bread. And whenever you see the show come up on your socials, please go over there and share it. Retro Wars is also now on YouTube, and each month I'll be doing a retrospective video on all our favourite video games. Please help the channel by subscribing, liking, and commenting on any new videos. We are nearly at 1,000 subscribers, and our latest video is a Final Fantasy VIII retrospective. There should be a Final Fantasy X retrospective coming in the next week or so. If you do want to support the show financially, you can do at patreon.com/RetroWars, where for $1 each month you get access to your own show called DLC, and it could be top 10s, modern day game reviews, or gaming events. As a bit of a sneak peek, this is episode 80, where we are talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake, not Rebirth, Remake. Gotta make that very clear. And by the way, Jesse, Jesus Christ, they have done her model very well. But Christ, she is a horny bitch in this game. Jesse's basically saying to Cloud, "Do me. Do me. Do me." She is such a cock tease. It's ridiculous. And that was episode 80 of DLC and my review of Final Fantasy VII Remake. Next week, not sure yet, I'll have to think what I'm going to be doing for DLC, or if anyone's got any ideas, hit me up and I'll see what I can do. And I'll also let you know that 5% of all our Patreon fund each month will be going to a charity called Get Well Gamers in the UK, and they help provide games and consoles to 150 children's wards across the UK. Now, so far, we've only raised just over $3, I think, which isn't much, but hopefully this is going to grow as time goes on. If you do want to donate any games directly, the link is in the description below and the charity will really appreciate it. Now, additionally, for your money, you get access to our own Discord, the chance to message me one-on-one and take parts in all our shows of 16 Bits of Nonsense, Survive or Die, DLC, or comment on our Game of the Week, and I'll probably butcher your names. Right, let's get into our first section, shall we, which we call 16 Bits of Nonsense. So 16 Bits of Nonsense is our letter section where you guys can pretty much ask me whatever you want. Captain N says, Danny, why did you leave us? You claim it was because you were moving, but I don't believe you. Make up a reason that makes it personal, otherwise I'll assume you're lying. Make up a reason. Awesome. So I get to sit here and make a reason. Some of you would probably want me to say something rude, but I'm not going to say that. Do you know what? I'm just going to say, sod this. I went on a two-week bender with no wife and kids. I literally went to Thailand, hired as many ladyboys as I could, and just saw what happened. I literally did my own Hangover Part 2 and just saw, you know, that I ended up with a monkey, I had a tiger, that was number one. I literally gambled everything away. I was shooting things, targets, not people. I've made that very clear. I was taking legal drugs. What else was I doing? Drinking myself silly. I was playing in the flakes. I was going to say lakes, but I was going to say fields and lakes, and they merged into one. We all know this is the bullshit. I had literally been sat on my arse and moving shit all day long. Oh, fuck me. The house actually resembles a house now. Let's just say that. The poor dog's got out four times, the dickhead. He escaped twice under the fence and twice through the front yard. First time he ran outside, he nearly got hit by a car and he wet himself, the poor little bugger. Oh, my life. It's been an interesting time. And Blaine the Hoagie Man says, welcome back, Mr. Danny. Since you've been away for a bit, I'll ask you an easy question. What does it take to be classified as a Geordie? Okay, to be classified as a Geordie is quite easy. And if you might have seen this in, like, the news, well, not the news, the previous show, Geordie Shore. I know you've got Jersey Shore, but Geordie Shore. You have to be born from the place of Newcastle. And you go speak like, why, I man. Oh, it's great in the town of Geordie, of Newcastle. I'm not a Geordie. Ant and Dec, if you're not from the UK, if you're from the UK, you know what Ant and Dec is. Google Ant and Dec. They're classic Geordies. Best example I can give you. Or Alan Shearer, an old football player. Google them. That is a Geordie. You have to be from Newcastle. I would be classed as a plastic scouser. That's what I would be called, or a woolly back, coming from the Wirral, which is near Liverpool. If you're from Liverpool, you're a scouser. If you're from Manchester, you're a Manc. So, London, Cockney. We all have our little different clarifications. But I like the Geordie accent. It's a cool one. It's a nice, fun place, Newcastle. Been there a few times. Love it. It's a nice, interesting place. It's a bit of a stag capital, or a books capital, depending on where you are in the world. I've been there for a stag do. It was mental, and everyone was dressed in fancy dress, except the Mr. Potato Head was one of the stags, and he had to go home because he was too hot in his Mr. Potato costume. Go figure. So yeah, it was an interesting time in my life going on stag do's. I haven't done them for a while because all my mates have grown up now. But thank you very much, guys, for our questions. I really do appreciate it. Yes, again, normality will resume. Now, let's get into the news, shall we? Which, if you don't know, we've kind of changed the name, and it's now called Play Switch Box Erect. So Play Switch Box Erect is our new section where I look at what's been going on in the world of gaming and give my thoughts. First up, this isn't gaming, but okay. WrestleMania 40 has been and gone. I have watched day one. I'll be watching day two as you are listening to this. I've had a great time with this. The Rock is back. He is back. He's now the final boss. And oh my God, is he the final boss? He's effing. He's blinding. It's been a great showcase. I have loved watching WrestleMania. I can't wait to watch day two. I'm so excited to see what day two is going to provide us. So literally, as soon as I finish this, it's going on before I go walk Pat for a little bit. So I'm very, very excited. Oh, yes. And I hope you got your predictions right. If you've been watching it, let me know if you got... I got most of mine right. I got one wrong from yesterday. No, I got one wrong and one of the tag teams wrong. I got one right, one wrong. If you watched it, you'll know exactly what I mean. Okay, on to gaming stuff. Xbox... Microsoft are going to be doing an Xbox Showcase on June 9th, and apparently, rumours is going to be the next Call of Duty, which is going to be a Black Ops game, and other games called Avowed and Indiana Jones and The Great Circle. So, Xbox have got to smash it. They really do have to smash it because they are behind the ball. Like, you can show off the next Call of Duty, that's great, but remember, that's going to be a multi-platform game. So, you've really got to hit it hard. I know now I can actually reveal I am an Xbox wanker. I bought one for $50, and I bought an Xbox One. Because I want to, well, I need to play some Xbox games, don't I? So I bought shit tons of Xbox games. I think I bought 10 for about $50, which is ridiculous. I've got all the Mass Effects, 1, 2, 3, some Halos, 1, 4, OST, I got Reach. What else did I get? Gears of War, 1, 2, 3. I thought it was so dirt cheap, and I will try and buy more Xbox One games, Xbox 360 games, I should say, going forward, because I want to try and review them for the show. Xbox games, I'll probably emulate them, but we'll wait and see, because I was going to get an Xbox 360, but it's just a pain in the ass. And Xbox games now are going up in price, because you can imagine they're becoming rarer, which is a bit of a pain in the ass. However, PlayStation with Sony are hitting back. They're going to have their showcase in May, so that's going to be interesting next month, what they're going to be showing. And as you know, I'm probably more excited for the PlayStation showcase than the Xbox showcase, but there's nothing to say what PlayStation will be showing off at this moment. Sonic 3 has now wrapped up filming. I am very excited for that. Very, 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 very excited, because the first two Sonic films have been great. So I am looking so much forward to what the third film with Shadow is going to reveal. We've got Jim Carrey coming back. Again, this could be his, again, last film. We wait and see. And I'd love to see what role he's going to play in this one. He's probably going to be trying to get behind Shadow's ear like he did with Knuckles. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. It depends if it's going to follow the original story of Shadow. We'll wait and see. I suspect it could be a spin-off series for Shadow like there will be with Knuckles as well. Now, talking about games, there's two more stories to go. The first one, Suicide Squad. Now, I know I've talked about that a few times and how that has gone just absolutely exploded and kind of started the next, well, we should say Gamergate 2.0. has been because of really Suicide Squad and stuff around that. We'll talk about that properly in the future. Now, they've released their first DLC, the first season's DLC, which is the Joker. However, the issues which people have had immediately, you think when you get a new character, you'll get him from the off if you're paying for that sort of stuff. No, no, you have to grind missions to get him. You have to do a few hours worth of missions to be able to get Joker, and then when you do get him, you have to then grind him up. But that's standard. I wouldn't have any problem with that. But also, his lines of dialogue are dreadful, from what I've heard. His design is dreadful. I can deal with the fact that his lines are dreadfully designed. I think the annoying thing for me, because you've seen the design, you know what you're going to get. Having to grind a few hours to get that character, that's frustrating. Like, Sonic, for example, any Mortal Kombat game or any Street Fighter game or anything like that, you get your Season 1 pass, you get their characters, boom. You haven't got to play, let's play Street Fighter to get to Master Rank before I'll get Sakura, for example. I haven't got to do any of that bollocks. I'll just get Sakura at the moment I paid for it. So to be able to have to grind before you get Joker, that's ridiculous. And considering the developers were like, Rocksteady were like, this is going to change the game, it's going to be so good. Wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. That's all I can really think about when it comes to this game. You silly, silly boys. And the final story I want to talk about is Stellar Blade. Another game on the other side of the argument, which basically people are pointing to as being a reason that gamers design, the character designs of Eve is terrible. So there was an article from IGN France, and it was basically commenting about Eve's design and how people from the West hate this design. But then they kind of replaced that. They edited it and said, no, sorry, we shouldn't have said stuff like that. But then the IGN France editor-in-chief went absolutely chaotic. He just went all out. I don't know what was going on. And he claimed that the design of the character Eve has the potential to kill women. Women will unfortunately take their own lives because they can never meet the expectations that men want, and that the men will have expectations that Eve is the perfect woman and that's what women should look like, and because of that women go, oh, I can't meet that expectation, and take their own life. That is the utter bug. Well, do you know what, I can't sit there and go that might not happen, because there has always been a thing that the beauty standards are raised too high. Just in life, just look at this in life in general, whether it's modelling, whether it's looking movies, music videos, or pop stars, whatever. And people may not aspire to that. There may be some truth to that. I can't sit there and go, no, because I don't know the fully reasons why people do take their own life. But to say that video games are going to be the reason that that's going to happen, again, you're making it sound like it's going to be a mass suicide event. It's ridiculous. Unfortunately, there may be someone, I don't know, mental health is a very, very tricky thing. But we never have this conversation about male characters. That's my only qualm in this, my only little wrinkle when I sit there, because whenever there is a male character introduced, just look at the Street Fighter characters, I keep going back onto that. Ryu is built like an absolute brick shithouse, so is Guile. Like, unrealistically so. And I've never gone to Ryu and gone, fuck me, I'm that's ridiculous. I don't like the image of that. I can't achieve that image. Maybe there are people who have that. I sit there, I'm not going to say, because I can't say that equivalently. I can't think of the word. But I've never looked at a male video game character and gone, that is outrageous. That's not what males look like. You know, when I watch Dragon Ball, for example, and as Dragon Ball Super or Z, whatever, I look at Goku and I go sit there and go, fuck me, that is outrageous. How can men look like that? I'm more likely to go, shit, I need to get to the gym and look like that. I want to look like that. I want that to be the goal. But at the same time, I know, regardless how much I train or even juice, not that I do, but I don't do that. That's naughty. You're never going to look like Goku. It's just not happening. He's like muscles upon muscles. Like, as Frieza said, you could grate cheese on his abs. It's that ridiculous. But you see what I'm saying is, they never have this conversation with males. It's always with females. It's always for the male gaze, but never the male characters. And whilst, yes, beauty standards are a thing, and I understand how sometimes people have the unattainable figures, and they've done it in Disney as well. Remember, like with Elsa, her figure's unattainable. They did it Princess Aurora back in Sleeping Beauty. But again, the male characters never come under that gaze. Like Gaston, for example, in the original Beauty the Beast, was outrageously big. He was outrageously top-heavy. No one batters a fucking eyelid with Gaston, and they still don't. Hercules, in the original Hercules film, again, you can go, oh, he's a god. But no one ever comments how Meg, although to be fair, Meg isn't interesting, what she has, no waste. But again, there was never an issue with her. But they go back to the Princess Aurora thing. I just don't understand why we constantly have these things. This is fiction. This is an artist's projection of what they would like. I get really fucked off with it all, and I don't know. But again, if you are having, you do see those and you do find it difficult, please seek out help. I don't mean that mockingly. I mean, if it's really affecting you in a difficult way, please go and seek support. I really do wish that for you. And again, I don't mean that mockingly, but I don't believe it's going to have the same, the huge impact that the IGN editor in France believes. I think that's a bit outrageous. I think he's being a bit of a knob, to be honest. But that is it for the news. That is it ranting. And unfortunately, I do not have any Stick It Up Your Ginger this week. I've not prepared for that. So Stick It Up Your Ginger will come back next week. But we can move into our final section, which is called Survive or Die.
Hey, listen.
So Survive or Die is our final Patreon game where each week we get two video game characters, franchises, games, it could be mechanics, it could be anything, and we have them knelt before Mr. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who is dressed up as the Earthworm Jim suit, armed with Shao Kahn's hammer. And we ask the question, which one of them should get their brain smashed in, and which one of them should live to fight another day? Now, seeing as we are talking about Metroid, I decided to put Samus Aran, the title character, and I put her against another well-known female character, who apparently, according to the British BAFTAs, is the most iconic video game character of all time, Lara Croft from the Tomb Raider series. I want to know which one of them should survive and which one of them should die a horrible, horrible brain-squished death. We've got three comments this week, and I'm going to read them out. I'm worried one of them's Captain N. We'll see how this goes. Captain N says, Laura, he's actually put Lara Croft. Damn it, Captain N, that is straight away messing me around. For God's sake, did I put Laura, please? No, I put Lara, you're a prick. You're a bellend messing me around. Okay, Lara Croft's claims to fame as an overzealous designer who racketed those triangle breasts up to 11, making the horny tweens drool over that polygon count. He ain't wrong with that, to be fair. Samus is a mystery until her reveal in the first game. She hasn't been as made as a sexual object, well, in the games anyway, and she comes back stronger each game. Sure, the newer Lara Croft is hot and in fine proportions, and she is even skilled again as she enters long-lost tombs and mysteriously lit torches awaiting her, but she just isn't Samus. Ergo, Lara can die. Samus is a strong 80s woman who has lived through the 2024 and hasn't aged a day. Yeah, that's... there's all those tombs are always lit. That's always a funny thing, isn't it? Like, who the fuck... how much oil is sitting there? Like that's what's destroying the planet, not like all us, you know, draining the oil every day. It's those mysterious lit torches that are around when we go into these tombs. Blaine the Hoagie Man says, I mean, Samus has all that high-tech weaponry and armor. What exactly does Lara Croft have that could even penetrate her power armor? In fact, Samus could just leave a power bomb that Lara mistake for an artifact and then get blown up by it. Samus survives. Oh, I 100% agree. If it was a fight to the death, Lara Croft is getting destroyed by Samus. There is no way around it. Like, I think Samus would destroy even normally, like, out the suit. Remember, Samus is huge. Samus is, like, she's nearly 7 foot tall. She's a big, big girl. Hang on, I need to Google this. How big is she? Hang on, Samus Aran, height. How big is she? No, not samurai. I don't want Samus. Oh, God's sake. She's 6 foot. Don't think so. It says she's 6 foot three in the power suit. No. No. Yeah, there we go. Oh, she's, 6 foot. Okay, this is a mess. So in Metroid Other M, it says she is 6 foot three in the suit, but the Super Metroid guy describes her 6 foot three, weighing 90 kilos without her power suit. It makes sense. I need to know how big she is. She is tall. She is a big, big girl. So I think she's destroying Lara Croft anyway. I just have that. She's going to annihilate her. So yeah, there's my thoughts on that one. Not exactly the best scientific evidence on this podcast, but what do you expect? Finally, Chris Coplin says, Lara survives because titties. Okay, we're going down that immature route. Plus, Lara Croft is British, and now I'm thinking about Elizabeth Hurley. They should have asked her to be Lara instead of Angelina Jolie, but it's not like I would complain either way. And I have to ask Captain N who Lara is. There is no Lara here. Goddamn right there's no Lara here. I has to be a troll. He has to be trolling. He has to be. Do you know what, though? Elizabeth Hurley as Angelina Jolie... As Angelina Jolie, imagine that. As Lara Croft would have been interesting. Like, she definitely has the assets. But I don't... I think Angelina Jolie was a really good Lara Croft. I think she did have that... the style was there. So, I know Elizabeth Hurley is English, but nah, I'm going to go with Angelina Jolie. But when it comes to which one I want to survive, I'm going to go with Samus Aran. I think Samus Aran should survive. I like her games better. It's simple as that. I think she's just more cool. Like, she's more badassery. There's no talking. There's no doing. She just gets shit done. Like, even one boss, someone started talking to her. She just shot them. I was like, get in. No messing around there, Samus. She just finishes things off. Where, yeah, Lara Croft's got to show to me more badassery before we get into it. I just can't see it. I'm sorry. There's the titties argument, but I'm a mature human now. I've grown up since then-ish. But thank you guys for playing. I really, really appreciate it. Now, what have I been up to? Well, as I said at the beginning, I have been moving house, and it's been stressful, but I'm now back at work. First day was today, and yeah, so hopefully some routine is going to get back into place. What have I been playing? I finished, in the time I've been away, I've managed to finish off Final Fantasy VII Remake and the Yuffie DLC. I'm now been playing, on the pooper, I've been playing Unicorn Overlord, having a great time with that on the Switch. And I'm now onto the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So I was debating, am I going to try and 100% that? And I think it's probably going to be, I'm going to 100% that. Although I was thinking, ugh, I've got other things to do, but I'm enjoying it. I really am enjoying the game so far. So probably going to be doing Final Fantasy Rebirth for quite a while. But we'll wait and see, shall we? All right, before we get into the main episode with Mr. Blaine the Hoagie Man, it is time to read a few of your thoughts about our game Metroid 2. And let's get to them. We've got three comments. Captain N says, it would appear after the first game, Samus had left, but she returns in this one. And I wouldn't agree more. As always... Storm Beagle says, I've dabbled in this game a bit on the Nintendo Switch Online, but I think it suffers a bit from the hardware limitations of the Game Boy. Interested to hear your thoughts on this one, but I think I would like to try play Samus Returns before getting too into this one. Yeah, Samus Returns is the 3DS remake, and we do talk about that briefly because I do want to play that game. I was thinking, it's like, ooh, I wouldn't actually mind giving that a go because they're the same guys who made Metroid Dread. So I was like, ooh, Metroid Dread was a great game, so Samus Returns surely is going to be a good one as well. And finally, Chris Coplin says, Captain N makes a good point about how some people say you can't go home, but Samus does and gets to kill things. Yeah, that's pretty much it. She goes to kill shit. Just kill the Metroids. That is the aim of this game. But I have been talking long enough. It is time to get into the main conversation with our guest, Blaine. So I will play some music. And when I come back, me and Blaine the Hoagieman are going to be talking about Metroid 2 Return of Samus, which came out for the original Game Boy in Europe on May 21st, 1992. Fuck me, I'm old. Returning once more to the show is Blaine the Hoagieman. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good once again, Mr. Danny. How about yourself?
Well, as we said previously, I'm knackered. I'm freaking exhausted. It's my own fault, like basically going to bed late, trying to get the little one to bed. But yeah, because the time of this recording, it's like buying Tekken, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, I want to play Tekken. I want to just play Tekken, eh? But the wife's like, I want to watch a TV program. I'm like, fuck! Fuck.
And you just get overruled every single time.
Yeah, I do. But that's why the PlayStation Portal comes next week. So I can
there you
get
go.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Do you want to watch your program? Yeah, I'm still playing Tekken. I'm still playing this, bitch. Well, as if I'd say that to her. Fucking hell.
Got to get the loopholes in.
Got to get the loopholes in. Jesus, yes, you have. But today I was able to play a game, which I could play while she was watching something. And this is Metroid 2. For the Game Boy. Now, you brought this to my attention, and I'd never played Metroid 2, but thankfully, because of Nintendo Switch Online, I managed to give this a go. So, did you play this originally, or was this one you wanted to go, oh, fuck it, let's give it a go?
Well, if I remember correctly, because I had messaged you, and I was like, hey, Danny, I really like the Metroid series. Which game should we play? And you're like, you could play Metroid 2. And I'm like, well, I've never played that game in my childhood, but that sounds like fun, and then we both played it, and now here we are at the end. So, yeah, like I said, I never grew up playing this myself. Actually, my very first game was Super Metroid.
Yeah. What was mine was Metroid Prime. Prime was my first one. And so I have to say this off the bat. What color setting did you play this on?
Oh, I had to go with the color. I could not do the green or the black and white. I had to go with the color setting.
I was exactly the same. I started playing it on the green setting just because I didn't realize you could change the color setting. And I was like, oh my God, I'm struggling with this so badly. Even on a big screen, it's like, bleh.
Yeah, it looks gross. I did play it handheld though, because I'm just going to get this off right the way. I did have to follow a walkthrough because this game is very difficult with not knowing what you're doing.
Oh, there's no shame in using. I'll openly admit, I had a walkthrough, I had a map, I had everything, because I started playing it with just bare bones green and black screen. I was within minutes. I was like, "Where the hell am I? I have no idea. I have no point of direction. I have no map." That's the main thing. They give you no map,
no way to look. So yeah, it's just like, I was not going to want to get lost in this game because it's short, and it's, you know, once you know what you're doing, you can find your way in like a few hours. But yeah, it you need a map and you need something to help you with this.
I was like, at first, like, do you know what? I've done Metroid, most of Metroids, without any sort of guide. I want to try and do this one without one. But honestly, it lasted 10 minutes until I changed my mind on that. I went, no. And look, the word technical limitations is going to basically be said a lot, because there is like technical limitations of the hardware. Mm-hmm. And this was probably one of them, why they couldn't put a map in there. It has to be. I don't know, because you think just pressing select would have brought a map up, but it has to be. The hardware couldn't manage it. I can't think of any other way.
Right, because like even when you first start the game up, there's like no intro. It's just the game start screen, you hit start, and then boom, you're right into the game. So it's like there had to absolutely be some technical limitations to it.
Yeah, and do you know what though? That's the thing, like, you are just jump straight into it. No backstory, no nothing, nada. And there is a plot with this, and essentially this is set after the first one, where Samus is sent to SR388 to kill all the Metroids before the space pirates get them. That's the plot, because the Galactic Federation have realized, Shit. Metroid's bad. Go finish them. Just go to the planet and kill them all. It's a bit of a bold task. And I've never played a game like this, where the only thing you've got to do, you've got 41 Metroids, kill them all, that's it. That's the game. Which is like, I've never played a game like that in my life.
And what's funny is, like, later games come to tell you, like, oh, that was actually a bad idea. So it was like, this is a main focus of the story. But then once you realize down the road, it's like, oh, maybe we really shouldn't have done that. But at the time, they was like, well, fuck it. Get in there. Do what Samus does, what she does best. Just
commits genocide.
Yep.
Mass genocide. Yes, because in later games and in Metroid Fusion, the developers developed the X virus, and they were basically the ones which could actually destroy the universe, and the Metroid were created to stop them by the Chozo. But we're going way down the lore bit. But at the time, Metroids were seen as the big bad thing, and it was just go kill them. And you have a little counter in the bottom right, which just says you've got so many Metroids to kill, and that's it. That the whole point is go investigate and go find Metroids. That's what you need to do. It's like there's not much story apart from that. To be honest.
No, and what's also interesting is because the Metroid formula is usually where you can only go so far until you find a certain item or an upgrade that you need. But in this game, it's like, well, you have to kill a certain amount of Metroids, and then there's like this acid or lava that prevents you from going into other areas. And then once you kill enough Metroids, then it lowers, and then you can explore new areas.
Yeah.
So no, I thought it was a little different.
Originally, I was thinking, how many Metroids do we need to kill before we get to here? Like, it doesn't really give me a total. But if you pause the game, it comes up in the corner how many Metroids are in that area. I was like,
Sometimes it's like five. Sometimes it just could be just one. And then you can move on to the next one.
It's like, you do tell me. I was like, okay, game. It is there.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie. I did listen to Mr. Blank's podcast. And that was one of his problems. And I was like, it's there. It's there. Sorry, Adam. Yeah.
It's just kind of like hidden away there. So another thing was, speaking of the Metroids, I like how there's like four different versions of the Metroids that you have to hunt down. There's like the Alpha, the Gamma, the Zeta, and the Omegas.
Yes, they there's different versions. So the point is like, you go looking for these Metroids, and you know when you've seen one's coming, because you'll find like an egg essentially cracked open, and then you'll find one and you'll see it in the distance. You're like, there's the bastard. There's the little bastard. And you creep on it. And then when it comes in, it goes, and it's on. Yeah. It's you versus the Metroid. And as the game goes on, you start getting your variations. So it starts off an Alpha, then it becomes an Omega. I think there's the Queen's the final one. There's another one as well. Is it not Zeta?
The Zeta and then the Omegas are. Yeah, the Zetas and the Omegas are the biggest two, besides the Queen, of course.
And I do like how they change. I do like that because it makes it a lot more, it shows the progression of these things, because Metroid, the franchise, whenever you think Metroid, you just think of the jellyfish thing. That's all you ever think of, because that's all you ever saw in the original game. And I know in Metroid Prime, you only ever saw the jellyfish thing. But in reality, if you let those Metroids grow, Jesus Christ, they become terrifying fuckers.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, with like the Zetas and the Omegas, like, did you have any troubles with them, or did you know that, like, some of the tricks with when you were fighting them?
Yeah, so when the Metroids come up, you're like, okay, it's on. Because, again, technical limitations of the console, you can see it in the distance, and you can try and plan for this. And what I used to do is basically try and screen. I used the screen to my advantage. So I'd always jump and fire at a Metroid, because it always seemed to come at me from, like, like a diagonal angle. And then if I needed a better angle to shoot at it, I'd just go off the screen and then just give myself a break. Because it never follows you. And I was like, right, I'll just wait. Okay, I'm ready. Jump back in. I was like, oh my God. And by jump off the screen, I don't mean like out the area. I just mean like, because say if you're in a cavern, let's just say one big room, and that room has like three different slides, I should say. The Metroid kind of won't follow you so much. It's so quite limited. I was like, oh, I can cheese this. So that's all I used to do, is try and cheese it, because it was just easier that way.
Yeah, and some of the Zetas, like if you stand in the right spot and just fire missiles at a random space, you can stun lock them. So
oh,
you can
you?
Just, yeah, like there was a one where you can just stand on this little pillar, and I was shooting it in the back, and you just keep hitting it with like a one right after the other, you can actually stun lock it in place. And I guess the Omegas, shooting them in the back does like 3 times the damage, because normally they take like 40 missiles, and sometimes you just don't have enough.
No, yeah, that's the thing. Jesus Christ, never. Oh, the missiles. Never have I needed more missiles in this game. But yeah, because it got to a point when I was like first fighting them, I was like, okay, these are quite easy. But then eventually you can't hit them from the bum. It's like, oh, they've protected their ass. They're clever. They're evolving. You clever girl. You clever girl. And yeah, it was just, I felt most of the strategy was just jump, fire as much as you can and hope for the best, because I was going around getting the energy tanks and I got the armor quite quickly, and so, and I had missiles, so I didn't need to really panic. I was like, okay, just go, just it's a war of attrition here, just see who dies first, me or it. And it was always it was never me.
Yeah, some of the problems I had were, there was a part where I had to fight, go like one direction I could fight a Metroid, and another direction I could fight another one, but I had like 7 missiles. And that was all I had. So I had to run. I don't even remember how far back, because there are certain enemies, like they'll either drop only health,
yeah,
or only missile.
Yeah.
And I had to go so far back just to farm for missiles. And I'm like, okay, once I get back here, I'm just, hopefully I don't run out of missiles. But
yeah,
there's those problems too.
That's one of the problems of this game. So that's a staple kind of Metroid things. If you lose health, if you lose missiles, you can either go back to a save point, these are later ones, or you can go farm. But the problem is that there's no ability to go to a save point to get your stuff back. And farming takes a ridiculous amount of time. So you kind of need to know on the map where the points are, where there's like a glowing orb that does all your health, or you need to find like a missile pointing up, and that's all your missiles. But they are far and few between. And you've got to sometimes do a lot of backtracking, which is like, especially towards the end of the game. Like you said about some of the Omegas take like 40 missiles. There's like 2 Omegas. And then you're like, there's no way you can do it with the amount of, well, you can do it with the missiles you have, but then you can't then go on to the rest of the game without doing a refill, which means you then need to backtrack so far to get those points. It's like, no, fuck, this is annoying.
Yeah, speaking of, like, how'd you feel about the exploration? Because I noticed, like, there's, in, like, other Metroids, you can kind of tell where there's, like, maybe, like, hidden areas. But this is kind of, like, check this wall or check this ceiling. And it's, like, it might even just be one you could just pass through and there's not even an actual wall there. And you can't even tell. Like, it's pretty hard unless you know what's there already.
Again, I think this comes down to that color palette. That doesn't help at all. But I didn't have, well, like, so shows I didn't have much problem because I had a map. I had a map and the map told me where everything was. And when I was like, okay, it's got to be around here somewhere. So like the entrance to go into this little cavern to go find that missile upgrade or that energy tank. So all I did was just do that. The only time I ever watched a walkthrough to try and find what I was doing was the dark cave. Mm-hmm. And
I hated that part.
All it was, right, to put this in context, Samus would go down a hole, it's pitch black, and you can just see her, that's it. And you have 2 items in there, but to try and get these 2 items and then get out is the biggest bitch I've ever seen. Fuck.
I also was kind of surprised about how some of the items you get like fairly early, because you start, as far as the beams go, with the ice beam. Usually that's like a later beam, or like the spider ball, which is like, obviously you can crawl on ceilings and crawl all over the place with it. It's like, wow, you actually get those pretty quick.
Yeah, you do. Like, so the Samus has upgrades, and yeah, you are right. Usually you get the ice beam much later on. And the thing you should know if you are playing this game, once you get the ice beam early, don't switch. And I just have to say switch, because the ice beam is the best weapon in the game, because it literally freezes things and then that's it. You just can kill them, and you actually need the ice beam at the end of the game, which is so bullshit, that it doesn't tell. Well, it kind of hints it later on because there's an ice beam nearby, but it's like, why? And again, it's more backtracking. Why? What this game should have done, well, should go back a step. If you get like the wave beam or another beam, it basically replaces the gun you already have, which is so stupid. Again, this should have been in a start menu and you could just switch between which beam you have. I don't know why they thought maybe it was limitations. I don't know. You can only have one gun at a time. So I saw the other beams. I never went near them. I just had the ice beam. I thought, no, you'll do. You're freezing stuff in one hit. That's all I need. Goodbye. And just kept with that. Never changed it. And so to have that so early was a godsend.
Yeah, there's also like a secret room near the end, like after you've used all the beams, where there's like different rooms and each one has one of the beams. So if you wanted to switch to that there, but you just have to know it's there. And then, yeah, like you were saying, like you can also get the ice beam at the end because you obviously need it, because surprise, even though it'll tell you there's only one Metroid left and it's technically the queen, she bursts more and you got to fight them again. So.
Yeah, so then you have to fight like baby Metroids, and so the ice beam doesn't work on, considering they're weak to ice, doesn't work on any of the Metroids in none. It works on absolutely none of them. Only missiles work.
Yeah, and exactly.
You have to eventually, then when it comes to the little ones right at the end, then the ice beam works. Being like, fuck. So that's really annoys me because they're meant to be weak. Again, this is game two, so I can't really bitch at it too much. They're meant to be weak to the ice beam, but then yet when you actually fight the Metroids, it doesn't even hurt them. I'm like, what's the point? And so you have to rely on missiles, and you need to get upgrades. Holy shit, do you need to get upgrades?
Speaking of upgrades, how did you feel about the space jump? Because I got to tell you, when I thought I would have the pattern down and I would like jump twice and then I'd hit the jump button again. And Sam's just like, nah, fuck you. I'm just going to fall all the way down again. And then you have to go all the way over again. And I wanted to throw my Switch across the room after a while because of it. Like, I thought I would get it right, but it's like, nope. So
yeah, Samus gets this jump where it's like a double jump essentially, but you've got to time it correctly. Look, it took me ages to figure out how to do it, but then I figured out how to do it properly. And it just basically, it just needs to make sure I always change direction as I'm in the air. If I change direction, I'll always be able to get the extra jump, but it is so fiddly. Again, it's not something which was play tested well. I always have a problem with double jumps where it's a pain in the ass, whether I've played like a Shinobi game where you've got the double jump where you've got to hit it as he's literally at the top of his jump. I was like, bullshit, just let me jump whenever. Don't freaking use actual physics into this. You shouldn't be able to do a double jump anyway. But it's a mess. It isn't even Samus's one is an absolute mess.
Yeah, after a while, once I had enough health, even some certain rooms where like spikes everywhere, even if I failed my double jump, I'd just like, well, I'll get hit once, I'll land somewhere, and then I'll try it again and just get through it and just reheal somewhere else. It's not a big deal.
You do need, as you've got to practice it, because if you don't do it, you won't finish the game, because there are points where, you know, Samus's jump becomes ridiculously high and it's hilarious how high it gets, but it's still not high enough to get certain points. So you need to learn how to do the space jump properly. Otherwise you won't do the game. It's just, nah, it's shit.
And going back to like the fighting them, like some of the Metroids, like there was one area where all that sand that you can shoot yourself through.
Oh my God.
There's one Gamma you have to fight, and it's like this small little room, and then you have to like clear out a bunch of sand. But if you like get on iota off screen, all that sand you cleared out is replenished. And so you're basically like trapped in this little area. And I remember being there with 3 health.
Oh no.
And I was like, I'm not going to go back and refarm this shit. I'm just going to save state here and I'm just going to fight it until I beat it.
With 3 health.
With 3 health. And it was just like, yeah. I'm like, I am not going to fucking do this over again.
Yeah, there's the physics. So yeah, you turn around, the sand's reappeared, but the Metroid's like, don't worry, I can go through the sand. It's like, no, you stick to the rules. No. Oh shit, I can't go through the sand, so you can. No! You stick to the world.
No. The Metroids don't fuck with physics. They're just like, you know, what's the shit?
They don't care. Like, I do like the Metroids. I thought they looked amazing. I thought, like, their designs look really good. And I do like whenever you saw one, you know, oh shit, like the tension's here, something's coming. But then mm-hmm. you look at the rest of the enemies on the world and they're like, really, really ugly.
Yeah, and then those babies, they can attach right to you. I'd have points where I would get them off me, and then I'd go to like shoot them and they just latch right on me again. And I'm just like, come the fuck on. Yeah.
Yeah, but they love you.
Yeah, they love you. They just want to love you to death, basically.
They just want to love you to death. That's all they do. Want to love mm-hmm. you to death.
Just drain your soul.
And this is where at the end, the final boss of this game is a queen, right?
Yes.
And again, this is something the game doesn't tell you, which really annoyed me, because I managed to figure out her pattern. So, yeah. And she's only hit by missiles, and I managed to figure out her pattern. And I was dodging everything, hitting it with a missile, two missiles, and then a dodge again, two missiles. Apparently, she needs like 140 missiles to kill her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you only have like 150 in your capacity, something like that. But the way you actually do it is when she does a lunging attack with her mouth, is to hit her then with missiles, then jump into her mouth with the ball. I was like, you gave me no indication or hint that was a thing at right. all.
Yeah, I think the max you can get is 250 if you find all the missiles. Like,
yeah, sorry, yeah. 250. I nearly had max missiles, and it's something like 240. You need basically mm-hmm. a perfect missile run to kill her, yeah. which is so stupid.
And also, if you know, I guess there's a way you could do it where she could eat you and you could fire from the inside too, but then you're losing a lot of health that way, so you just got to like fire really fast.
No, that's how you do it. That's how. Yeah, that's the quick way of doing it.
Yeah, it's the quick way. All right. Because I was no, I won't do it that way, though.
No, that's the quick way, because you basically, yeah. if you get loads of energy tanks, you're fine. But you basically, you go into a ball, you go into a mouth, and then just bomb it. And it only takes like five times, and you've done it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what they were, the hint was when she does her mouth attack, like basically lunges at you. That's when you're meant to get her. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Again, I had to use a walkthrough for this, because I, again, did a perfect run practically with the missiles. I was like, why is this thing not dying? And why are people taking like literally 2 minutes to beat this boss? I don't understand. I've been at this for over like nearly 10 minutes. It's like, what the fuck? Fuck.
Yeah, because every time she would lunge at me, I'd always get like stun locked above her head, even if I'm just standing where you're supposed to. And I'm like, how in the hell am I supposed to just stay here or get eaten? I never managed to get her to like, you know, swallow me as a bomb because she always lunged me up somehow.
Yeah, it's like as soon as she does the lunge attack, that's when you just start firing like crazy with the missile and you stun lock her. And eventually she just goes, meh. And then when she goes, meh, that's when you get in and you go, come on, boys, in we go. We're getting swallowed in. And then you start bombing her. And then once you've killed her, then essentially you find Baby Metroid. And Baby Metroid's like, hello, mommy. And then follows you.
And then she's just like, and then you go to the surface, and then there's this giant wall where you have to space jump over it. I'm like, no, please.
Yes, you do. Yeah, you have to do more space jumping. It's like, oh my God. Oh my God. More space. Where am I going? And again, because you can't do the map, you're like, where the fuck am I going? And look, I have to bitch about the map, because considering it's a Game Boy game, it's a big game. It's massive. You need something to give you a point of reference, because I had to use a point of reference. Like, okay, I've just done this. Okay, that's where I am on the map. How people did this without a map, I have no idea. Not a clue.
They probably had to like do the old tracing on the graph paper thing. They're like, all right.
I suppose,
they had to have done that.
Do you know what? That's like a Legend of Zelda thing on the Game Boy. Mm-hmm. That would have been quite fun to do as a kid.
I probably would have tore my hair out doing that, though.
Yeah, but as a kid, though, you wouldn't have known any different.
Yeah.
Making your own map would have been quite fun.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what they probably wanted to do, because it is that, you know, you are on your own, and so it's like, right, well, no, we haven't explored it, so you need to go do it and make your own. I was like, that's actually quite nifty. But when it was just the greeny color, I was like, bleh. But when I've put it onto the Game Boy Color mode, I was like, actually, no, this looks all right now. This looks okay. I can happily play this now in color, because everything is like a nice color. She's got a nice color palette. Enemies have a nice color palette. I said, no, I'm happy with this now. Let's just keep going. And it As soon as I changed the color, it changed my perspective on the game straight away, immediately. Yeah,
it made everything stand out, and basically you're able to like tell what is an enemy, what's something where you can just jump on it much, much, much easier.
Yeah. Like there's a point in the game where you pick up the armor, the Varia armor, whatever it's called. And yeah. it's you get it quite early, and that's where you get like, the shoulder pads, that the iconic look. Mm-hmm. You can, it's basically hidden with all the in all these balls. If you're playing the original version, you'd miss that. But if you're in the Game Boy Color version, you're like, oh, hello, there's something there. Right.
No, yeah, okay. You gotta bomb the balls just to get the space suit. I remember that. That was kind of funny, actually.
But you can see it clear as day. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. That's a different color. I want that. I'll get that. And I like that. But playing it on the green and black, that would have been nah. And you mentioned as well, you use save states. I use save states because the save points are so little. And again, it's a lot of backtracking. I was like, nah, nada, not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like overly abuse them, but like when it was just like, okay, I don't want to have to redo the backtracking of going to do a few things, or if like I just don't want to fall down this huge shaft just to have to go right all the way back up, I just sometimes would do it then.
Yeah, it's just no point. I'm like, nah, I can't be bothered with this.
And can't be asked, yeah.
Because you can like, you can lose health so quickly in this game because in, well, practically all video games, you have that sense of frame invincibility. You've mm-hmm. got no frame invincibility here. She's getting hit. No. Bang, bang, yeah. Bang, bang, bang.
And you get hit like a truck every time, no matter what enemy it is. It's like it takes a lot of damage out of you.
Yeah, at the beginning, like you have to be really careful because even like the basic enemies can do so much damage. It's not until later on where you get the Vary suit and then you start getting the energy tanks. Then you can kind of be quite liberal with things. But the beginning of the game, holy crap, you've got to take your time because even the smallest enemies are going to just wipe you out.
And some of them are not easy to hit, especially unless you have like the wave beam or whatever the other beam is, like the ones that have like the spread cross. But if you're using like even like the plasma, like that is like so precise, you have to make sure you're hitting the enemies or else you're not going to hit them at all. And you can't, you can only shoot like four directions. You can't even shoot diagonally in any way.
Yeah, you've only got a few directions. And again, limitations of the console. Yeah,
and of course.
Because the thing is with the enemies, as I said earlier, they look dreadful. And there's never that many on screen. And again, this is because of limitations. Because if you put loads of enemies on the screen, it would come to a standstill. So I'm fine with the fact that there wasn't many enemies. I wish there was a bit more variation. And I wish there was better designs. But as long as you're putting them into the Metroids, like if the Metroids look crap, I'd be a bit disappointed.
Exactly.
But you do feel... Like, some of the enemies are a pain in the arse. Like there's ones that literally home on you. You're like, you little fuckers. Like, missiles, and they do so much damage. But again, you just turn around and go, pew, with the freeze gun. And say, right, you're not a problem anymore. Bye. See you later.
And if you don't need to bother with him, you just freeze him and go.
Yes, and I'll stand on your corpse as well. Ha!
we'll do a little tap dance.
Yeah, little fuckers. They'll mess me around. But you just, you know, you kept going, you kept exploring. And then, yeah, you mentioned earlier, once you kill so many Metroids, so there's like it's meant to be lava, but in the Game Boy Color version, it's water. It's just, it's painful killer water. Once you kill so many Metroids, the game shakes and a new part of the map is open. So that's how it kind of works. And then you go basically, you clear all the Metroids in the area, go to the next area, rinse and repeat. That's essentially it until you get to like the last few. I think it's like one left. Yeah, because you know it's just the queen. So you're basically going onwards to this progression. And yeah, once you kill her, you're done. You've killed all the Metroids. You have genocide a race. You've completely removed them. Although it makes it seem like 41's not that many of a race, but you'd imagine if it was in real terms, it'd be probably like thousands.
And surprisingly, though, she didn't blow the planet up, because normally when she leaves, the planet also explodes. But she decided she'll leave this one, you know, to...
Yeah, in this case, the planet which actually makes Metroids grow, we're going to leave that alone. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to take a Metroid with me. I'm like, fuck it. I love how she just goes, she doesn't even question it. She just goes, nah, you know what? You stay with me, mate. It's all right. It's fine. It's like, I know you can love me to death. Just come with me.
Just hang out. Just, you know, eat some crackers. You'll be all right.
Yeah, just... Like, what does she feed it? What does she feed this thing? Like, does she put it on her head for a little bit, right? That's enough. No, bad Metroid.
Stop. Sit in the corner.
Yeah, sit in the corner. Now, she gets a load of abilities in this game. We've mentioned a few of them, like the ice beam. We've mentioned the boar jump. She gets the spider ball and the ability to morph into a boar, but she gets the spider ball really early. So mm-hmm. she can basically start climbing with the ball. And I love that. I love the little thing. Like, it's a bit slow, but I still liked it.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're like me who can sucks at the space jump. Like, if you're like, okay, I can't make this, just turn the spider ball on, just climb up. And you're like, all right, I can at least make it this way. Unless there's spikes in the way, because, again, the game sometimes likes to just fuck you over like that.
Yeah, it's like, no. Don't think you can use the spider ball to get around this. You need to space jump, you exactly. little bastards. And she has like a ridiculously floaty jump. I was like, whoa, she is floating. I was like, yeah. I like that. And then she gets the super jump. I was like, whoa, that's ridiculous how high she can jump. I loved it. I was like, this is great.
And once you get the hang of it, it's fun. But like I said, for me, I just don't know why I can never get the timing consistently down.
Yeah. It's just practice and practice with these things. Because I think, considering the time, she handled great.
Yeah. I loved her handling in Super Metroid. I know a lot of people say she's too floaty. I'm like, well, then you need to just know how to control her better. But that's just me. But
yeah, I'm happy with floaty. Yeah. I'm just want response. You know, exactly. Deal with, because like I've just been playing Alex Kidd, and he is a slippery bastard. Like, no, fuck you, little shit. Whereas she's floaty, but she handles like a dream. She's responsive. Her shooting's great. I was like, I love this. And her animations are so good for a Game Boy game.
Yeah, they put some pretty good detail into Samus. That's for sure. I will say that.
But so, I was like, you made her look really good. And then, oh God, the obligatory credit scene. And then we did it roughly the same time. Oh, hang on, I need to sneeze at some point. A sneeze is coming. All right. And we got the same. Here it comes. There we go.
Bless you.
We got roughly the same time, and we got the same design, because you see Samus running and then she'll like jump, and we got the same picture. But if you could do it really quick, she goes straight to a bikini. I was like, oh god.
Yeah, I finished mine about like 3 hours 15, and the walkthrough I was following along did it like about an hour or so. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
I want the bikini picture of Samus.
Like, you know, just helmet off, or just her posing with her suit on. Yeah,
I think I got posing with suit on, because then there's like one with helmet off, and then one with the jumping, and I think it's one bikini. And then once I finished that, I found out there was a manga for the first Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
It was for the first Metroid, and I was like, holy shit, that Metroid is brutal. So I want to play the original. I'm going to play Zero Mission. So I was thinking I'll do Zero Mission for the charity stream. But
Zero Mission is pretty good.
Yeah, I want to play that. But then this game had a remake as well called Samus Returns on the 3DS. And now of it, I'm like, okay, I want to play that. I want to really play it.
Yeah, officially this game got one remake, but technically it got two if you want to count the fan-made AM2R. So like, and I played both of them. I would say if you were to want to experience this story, but you want something with a better flair to it, both of those would suffice.
Yeah, because I think this is hard going. Like, you are basically on your own a lot of the time. There's barely any music apart from when you get into like the main safety bits, and it's like dun, 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 and that's about your track.
And then when you get to other areas, you just hear this little beep boop boops, and then it's silence, and then beep boop boop, and the only other thing you're hearing is like Samus running.
Yeah, that's all you hear. And I know it's basically based on Aliens, that was like the influence, and I do like that.
Yeah,
and there's definitely the old 80s film of Aliens. It's like, okay, I can see where the influence is here. The sound effects are fine. I have no problem with any of the music, although the end music's really cool. Like when she finishes the game, it's like, yeah, and you get a little bop to this. Like a little sitting there, the wife's like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm bopping. Leave me alone. Just finished Metroid 2.
Yeah.
Like, it was great.
Just do a little break dance and do the robot while you're at it.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. With the robot connected and the switch just goes flying. Shit. I should have pulled that out. But the one sound effect I will say can go fucking suck a dick is the low health one. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, I will say if you're missing music and you're in the areas without music and you have low health, it kind of fills that in for you. But yeah, it's pretty annoying though.
Like, I was so annoyed by that noise that I decided, you know what, I'm making a DLC for low annoying health noises just for that fucking reason.
Well, you're welcome for that.
It's so bad. It is just, it hurts your ears. And, you know, you're at low health, like under 50%. It's like, oh my God.
And then it like amps up every time. Yeah, every time you like get lower in health, it like amps up. So it's like more annoying as you're dying, basically.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go get some health. No, there's no fucking health anywhere because you don't give, the enemies don't give it to you.
Like, fuck. Oh, some will, some won't. It just depends on which ones. You just got to find the right ones. And then you got to, like I said.
You got to find the right ones, then you got to grind them. And that's not easy.
No. And it's even worse with missiles because, like I said, there's much less the ones that do missiles.
Yes, there's only like one. I have only found one sort of enemy, and I can't think which one. It's one of the ones by the spiky walls.
I found this like little like hopper enemy. I forget. I don't even know what they're called, but yeah, it's like this little hoppy enemy that gave me missiles.
Hardly any. So aside from like these enemies, there's a lot of empty space. You know, again, this puts down to there's no freaking map. And I understand why there's empty space, but it's just annoying that there's empty space. Like, again, I'm not expecting loads of shit to happen because ultimately this is a planet of squid things, so I don't think they're that civilized. But as a game, it's like, oh, just give me a little bit more backgrounds, please. Just something.
Yeah, there's like no background at all. It's like pitch black. It's like nothing, which is understandable, but still.
So there's nothing to like differentiate it between like that and this. There's like there's only the bit is like some Aztec-y bits with the worst music ever, but that's essentially where the Chozo have meant to have been. But apart from that, now it's all caverns and crap like that. So again, I can understand it. And again, this is technical limitations because they can't do too much because the game will probably explode in the cartridge. It's like, okay, all right, fine.
Yeah, I mean, you can't even really tell like what the different areas are unless you have it in color. Because again, like if you just have it the one color palette, you're like, okay, you're just in the same area, but newer. But yeah, you know, it's supposed to be different areas. But
and you just want to go, oh, I want to see. Okay, this is the usually Metro's like, this is the fire room, this is the ice room. But I understand why they couldn't do that because again, the console size, like it's ambitious. Don't get me wrong. I think at the time, this would have kept you busy. This would have been a game which would have kept you very, very busy. But this came very early in the Game Boy's life cycle as well. It's not like a Pokemon. It came out very early.
Yeah. But other than that, like I would, like I said, I personally would prefer to play the newer ones because it has personality. But like trying it out was like, okay, it's an experience.
Yeah, it's an experience. You all get to learn from it. And I suppose Nintendo did learn because, you know, look at Super Metroid, again, I've only played like 5 minutes of it, so I know I need to play Super Metroid, but from what I hear, that they learned from the first two games and then made Super Metroid, and look at the legendary status that game has.
Oh, Super Metroid is so good.
Yeah, exactly. So it seems like that when they had a Super Nintendo to play with, they realized what they needed to do. Like, I honestly keep saying I'm surprised they've not remade that, but then maybe I'm like, oh, maybe they don't want to take the shine off the Super Nintendo version so they'll never remake it, which is probably the smarter idea.
I personally would prefer that they didn't, because like this game needed the remake, but I don't really think Super Metroid really does. But I mean, if they do, if they make it great, fine, but that's just how I feel about it personally.
Yeah, I just think just leave that alone. Just leave that alone and you should be fine. But yeah, I am really looking forward to playing the remake at some point for this, for Samus Returns. So when I will play it, when did it come out, Samus Returns? I should actually look that up. Samus Returns. 2017. Yes, it's probably a bit early for this show, let's be honest.
Give it 3 more years, then it'll be retro.
Yeah, give it 3 more years. And yeah, everyone, in 3 more years, you'll get a DLC of Samus. Oh, no, you'll get a normal episode of Samus Returns. So 3 years, we'll come back to this.
I mean, it's kind of discontinued because you really can't like just go out to any regular store and buy it. So
yeah, technically it does follow my rules. You can't buy anymore in a shop, so you should be able to play this. So, yeah, so maybe I might do this one day. No, but I do want to play Samus Returns.
Yeah, absolutely.
And give it a go. But have you, before we score, have you got anything else you want to bring to the table for this game?
I actually think we covered every point I broke down, so I think we're good.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, if you're scoring this out of 10, what are you giving it?
So before I played it, I was kind of thinking I was already going to give it a low score, and I was probably going to dock it if it was not a Metroid, even worse. But I still think I'm going to go ahead and give it a 4. I mean, I gave it a good shot, and I was like, it's okay. And I was thinking, like, if it was not a Metroid, I would probably have been a 3. But I think I had a little bit more fun with it than I thought I was going to, but not too much fun that I could give it any higher.
No, that's fair enough. Like, honestly, for me, I did enjoy it. And okay. But there's a caveat here. I enjoyed it because I had a map. Okay. I give it a 6 because I had the map. But if I didn't have the map, and I suppose that's what you should be playing, I'd be giving it like a 4 as well. Without a map, I'd be like, no. But having the map and on color, I'd give it a 6 because I did enjoy it. I did think it was quite fun. I had fun looking for all the Metroids, so I was happy with that. But yeah, again, it's probably a caveat score. Give its original how it would look, I'd be really struggling with it. I don't know if I'd even finish it. But with a map, I was like, oh, I like this. So I gave it a 6. So that was good fun.
That's good.
Yeah. So, Blaine, it's been great having you on the show once more. And I look forward to having you back on again.
All right, thanks for having me again.
All right, we'll see you for like 9 months when you get your Jurassic Park game comes in.
Right.
All right. Well, you take care of yourself. You take care of yourself then, Sunshine.
Yeah, have a good day.
And that was episode 111 of Metroid 2 Return of Samus for the Game Boy. If you've been listening all the way through, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. It means a lot. And thank you to Blaine once more. I'm looking forward to having you back on once again, sir. But until then, you all take care of yourself and have a great week. And I'll see you next week. My name's been Danny. Bye-bye.